Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. Because we off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy, Lil Yaka, QLLZ, bragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
Alright, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
Alright.
Love y'all. This is Miss Irresistible, and you're listening to Off the Cuff giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real, deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio. The Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off the
Hey, young blood, how you doing, man? Getting me down here this early, what's going on?
Hey, Pops, how you doing, man?
Yeah, you know, I don't move around too quick.
Man, I need to talk to you, bro.
Yeah, I need some advice, man.
You need some advice?
Advice on what?
Man, I think I'm in love.
Oh, you in love and things?
Yeah.
In love.
Yeah, in love, man. This is the one.
There's nothing wrong with that.
She's amazing.
All you gotta remember is do it right.
What?
No, I said do it right.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it right. I got you.
You know what I'm saying.
Thanks for the advice, Pop.
Yeah, well, keep your head up, Gunbud. You know what to do.
This is it. I got to do it right. So I got to go. I'll check you later, Pop.
All right.
See you.
All right, Gunbud. Well, keep your head up.
Do it right.
And it feels so good, so good inside, girl. I love the way you hold me and I feel so good, cause you do it right, girl. You do. We do it right.
Hey, buddy. How's it going,
hey,
man?
Hey,
great to see you, man.
How you doing?
Yeah.
I'm still getting around.
Playing, man.
Music sounds
great.
Oh, those are my boys, man. Those are my little boys. Yeah. Mind, body, soul.
Oh, they sound great.
Yeah, you're hitting like we used to, man. They're going to be out there at Hawk Barn.
Let's go check it out, man.
Let's go do it.
You
might
head out there and
check out Mind, Body, Soul. Oh,
sweet. Can I come with?
Yeah, everybody.
All right.
Let's go.
Let's all go.
live and direct at episode 366 at Off the Cuff Radio. Facts in the building.
What it do, what it do. Well, to see on a Friday night, King Eric and myself. Shout out to our co-host in spirit, a lot of Sandman, Lady Chinchilla So Illa, sponsored by Core Financial, Dirty Basement Radio, Buddy Boy Entertainment, and Jesse's Boutique, and we are live and direct.
Yes, indeed. This year, I'm going to be talking a little bit like 50 Cent tonight because I just had my tooth pulled this past week, so y'all going to have to bear with me. But we strolling regardless.
Definitely. And we definitely got a special guest up in the mix tonight. This man right here
Those funk-related jams we play is courtesy of our guest tonight.
Yeah.
And this guy here been putting in a lot of work in the indie scene, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be hearing more from him in the near future. Even despite the fact that this pandemic is taking a toll on his own, they still putting out dope music, dope feel-good music, and providing that funk for the old school heads and for the new school heads to love. So let's all welcome Dr. Funk, y'all.
Jill.
Yo, yo.
What's going on with you, man?
What's up, man? Dr. Funk in the house.
Definitely.
How y'all doing?
Good, man. Look, we got the PhD of all funkability right up in the mix, you know, with the music, man. What's going on with you?
Man, it's going, baby. Keep that knowledge going. That's why we got the PhD,
definitely.
Brother.
Definitely, man.
That's
look,
for sure.
Bro, we're so honored. We're so pleased to have you on the show, man. So, I mean, we're going to get right into it. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your foray into the world of funk, you know, your influences, because obviously you have many from this, you know, ginormous genre. The floor is yours.
And it's been a wonderful experience, this whole thing that we call life.
Mm.
I started playing at a young age, and the funk is natural. My mom was a gospel singer, and she made sure I knew what I was doing. I started in New York, in the church,
mm-hmm.
like most of our brothers and sisters, and she didn't give up on me. And on my first tour, I was only 16 years old when I left home.
Oh, man.
Set out in the world. On tour.
Oh, man. So what part of New York you come from?
Born in Manhattan, raised in Queens.
Southside, Jamaica, Corona.
And Queens.
Okay, yeah, because you got Corona, you got Southside of Jamaica,
Jamaica.
Far Rockaway. Okay, Jamaica. Okay, same place as 50 Cent from. Yes, sir. Yeah, man.
Yeah, good old 50.
So, 16, so obviously you honed your talent at a young age, you know, pretty much you had the same trajectory as, you know, one legendary funker, Bootsy Collins, I think, who had joined James Brown's band initially when I believe he was 17 or 18.
Yeah,
you know,
he was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Brother James Brown saw him playing with another band and said, hey, he sent his manager over and said, hey, James Brown needs you right now. And Boosie said, I'm on my way. I had the pleasure of meeting our brother Bootsy, man. He's the real deal. But this,
not to mention his DNA is in a lot of people's music, especially within the G-Funk era, within hip-hop. You hear a lot of Boosie Collins everywhere.
Oh, yeah. And Bootsy's everywhere. He's a good brother. Hopefully the younger generation to tag on to the funk we're laying down so we can start coming up with some of the hip-hop. Because we can get down
man.
With the funk.
Most definitely, man, because if anything, the funk is always that feel good music that brings the soul back. It makes it brings
That's
us
right.
back to the essence.
This is real. That's a good thing, man. Mind, body, and soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's called organic funk. Because it's organic, it's real. We're not playing.
Most
we're doing the real deal. There's eight people
now,
in the band.
How many members are exactly in the band?
Eight.
Okay.
There's eight of us on stage. We got full horn section, keyboards, guitars, bass, drums, percussion. Yeah, we're doing it like you know you should.
See, what y'all doing is y'all bringing back the old way. Not, I won't say the old way, but reforming the format of performance, because the stage performance
yes.
is just lost in a lot of today's era, man. I mean, just to bring energy to the crowd and showmanship, that alone is missing today. And from observing a lot of y'all music, I see that y'all bring a lot of that with y'all.
Yes. Yeah, when we hit stage, we ain't playing. You know, because we want to bring back what people are missing. They're missing the real live music.
Mm-hmm.
Cats up there really playing. We're not up there pressing buttons. We're playing.
See, what that reminds me of, too, is the era where the performance was more so important than the track. Sometimes the performance brings the track to life. Especially
That's
when
right.
I look at old bands like the Parliament. They used to come out there with spaceships and diapers and the fire.
I know, man. You ain't going to see me in no diaper, but we will come out hitting. Yeah, we dress. When we hit stage, we don't come out in jeans and T-shirts. We come out dressed like the time. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Y'all come do suited and booted, right?
We come suited and booted from head to toe. So we can hit that flow. You know what I'm saying?
Facts, man. And
yeah, man.
Y'all got a new single out titled "Friends Before Lovers," man. Can you tell us like how that's doing so far and how y'all bases on responded to that?
Actually, "Friends Before Lovers" is a really good R&B funk song. They just released, but we also have another song called "Work." They came out the exact same day that the new president and Ms. Harris was inaugurated. On the 20th, they released a song called "Work," which is a straight up organic, just funk in your face. So we sent the song to Washington to let Mr. Joe Biden and Ms. Kamala Harris, let them know it's time to get to work. Because we got to fix this country. And the funk will heal you. So we got a response back.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to let us know.
Definitely.
So basically, that's going to be their anthem.
Definitely. Now, in terms of what you do in terms of obviously
he was talking about how he submitted a song to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and let that be the anthem.
Got you.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm like, and y'all better accept it, man. Cause I know it's fire.
Yeah, man. Look.
Definitely, man. Definitely.
Look,
yeah,
freedom
we're just waiting
of the funk.
To hear word back, you know. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Definitely, freedom of the funk for the free world, man. I mean, you know, listening to the opening to open the songs King was playing, I mean, you definitely got a lot of influences. I mean, you know, like what you would talk about in terms of you having a live band with your brass section, you know, your string, you know, your rhythm section. You know, definitely a lot of it had a seems a lot to have a lot of DC go-go influence, and even a touch of Parliament Funkadelic. Is my ear fairly astute, or do I need fine tuning on it in terms of, you know, where, you know, you lay down the sonic foundations for?
No, you're close. You're close. Yeah, I definitely had influence from Uncle George, and he told me because I did some work with him on a show, and George Clinton, he told me, said, you know what? Because I said, it's okay if I use the name Dr. Funk. He said, yeah. He said, you do it, but you do 100%. I said, okay. I said, thank you. But I have a lot of influence from my mom, like I said, and from Mr. Maurice White from Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes, yes. Rest in peace.
Because when I was a kid, he took me under his wing. He was my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And in this industry, I've had a good life of meeting a lot of great, great entertainers. One that I really like, and he's really cool in life, is Mr. Morris Day.
Of the time, yeah.
He said, I like what you're doing. I said, thank you. He said, you run with it. He said, run with it, do it.
I mean, but to see your career just intersect with so many legends from so many levels, I mean, you have a lineage in terms of associations and genealogy that is unbelievable in terms of where it's taking you. I mean, especially starting from such a young age and foray out and into the world. What did you learn from those early experiences in terms of being on tour and really just seeing the world and everything that goes on in terms of honing your performance, you know, understanding, you know, the importance of rehearsals, you know, understand the mood of the crowd and just, you know, musicianship the whole way around?
I learned everything. Because when I left home, my first tour, I did the poorest tour that you could do. It was called, I did the last run of the Chitlin' Circuit on the East Coast. And I was a kid, but everybody I was playing with was older than me.
Uh-huh.
And they taught me. So being on the road was kind of like, that was my college.
Right.
They taught me hard. They wasn't playing. When we went in these two joints, they wasn't playing. These people, our brothers and sisters down in the South, they spend their last earned money to come see you play. You better give 100%.
Right.
And they taught me the importance of entertaining the crowd.
Yeah.
Give the crowd what they want, and they want shit all the time. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So I learned sing. I play drums, bass, keyboards, and percussions.
Hmm.
And they taught me, they said, don't fake the funk. You know, you got to hit it on the one. So,
and that's one of the most, yeah. I mean, but that's something in terms of that experience that, you know, it's one of those things that it has to actually be. You know, a lot of people say you just have that it, you know, and then you have the it that can't be taught. And the only way it's really taught is, you know, through experience. Because a lot of times, you know, actually all the time, there's nothing out there that can prepare you for that real world, you know, presentation that you're given. Like you said, you know, for those that are older who know the music history, you know, by the Chitlin' Circuit in terms of like, you know, the independent, you know, in the cars or in the vans and the buses. You know, everybody packed in, you know, and you're literally driving, you know, from state to state, town to town, putting it down, you know, really, really, you know, interacting with the fans, you know.
Yes.
And it's a very, like you said earlier, it's a very organic maturation, because, you know, it is tough, you know. For those out there, our listeners out there who've seen the Five Heartbeats, you know, that's really what it was like for a lot of those, you know, soul singers, you know, coming up.
It was
even,
just
you know,
like that.
Yeah.
Just
you know
like
what I'm
that.
Saying?
And
yes,
we
sir.
Got messed with, you know, we got messed with by the cops, you know, and they used to do some really bad stuff to us. And you learn to take care of yourself, because you have to stay alive. I
absolutely.
Lived through it. So I can tell a story. And you got to be smart about it.
And to give us context, you know, because you know, moving around in those days, I mean, because a lot of people, you know, we don't necessarily want to get off on political tangent, but this is also material to your story as well, because a lot of people try to downplay, you know, the racism in America and what legitimately can happen to, you know, black people out there. You know, one of my old high school teachers, shout out to Miss Betty Weaver, love that white lady to death. And she used to tell us about, you know, certain places down south. She's talking about it like in Georgia particularly. She's like, honey, in Georgia, if you're black, there's some places you don't even stop for gas. You know,
that's true.
You know, and
I've seen it.
Yeah.
That's why I tell the younger cats today, you know, this racism is not new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel for the younger kids now, because they don't understand, you know, the new generation, all they know is computers.
Right.
I'll Google this, I'll Google that. Like I used to tell my kids, no, you're not going to sit up in this house on them games and computer. Go outside, do something.
Right.
You know, go experience something. Go get in trouble. I'll get you out. You know.
You know what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you got to go out in the world and experience something. That's the only way you're going to learn how to use your mind and understand other people and interact with other people, different races.
Yeah. And, you know, they have a saying, you know, the best way to travel the world is to meet different people from parts of the world, you know.
That's
and
right.
A lot of times we have individuals who try to have a very insular type of, you know, existence, you know, as you said, you know, about how a lot of people just look to the internet for education, and they try to substitute that for books. But and I'm a book nerd myself, so I'm just going to be the proponent of all things literary in those pages, that
right.
there is something of an intimacy when you're reading those written words and really being able to sit down and really digest, you know, and understand what it means to be to really be engaged and to really have that education and engaging. You know, and there are certain things, while there is documentation on the internet, you know, which is great, because we meet great people like yourself, you know, through interacting. But, you know, a lot of things out there online, as we've shown, over the years, isn't always true. And, you know, you got to go to a book to really get the main source of it, to really, really understand it in full context.
Yes, I agree with you. Because even though I left home at an early age,
mm-hmm.
I came back. When I came back off tour, I went home, back to Queens, and my mom always wanted one of her kids to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked hard, and I got into St. John's University in Queens.
The Red Man, before it was the Red Storm. Yeah, man.
And I did it for her.
You know, look,
and
Chris Mullen and all those guys come out. Felipe Lopez, shout out to St. John's, man.
St. John's University.
Was it Coach Lou Carnesecca, I believe? You know, it was the basketball coach, Carnesecca. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of good people come out of there.
Yes, sir.
And,
yes, sir.
My mom said, "This is not you." I said, "I know, but I wanted to do it." She said, you have it. Like you mentioned earlier, different people had told me and said, you have it. And what are you going to do with it? That was the question. I told them I'm going all the way. I'm never gonna stop. I had to. We had to do a showcase. I was with one band, and that's how I got to meet Maurice White, because we had to do a showcase because the band had a manager and they set it up for us to do a showcase for Earth, Wind & Fire.
Right.
And that was one of my one of the most nervous times I had to play in front of those cats. You know, I mean, they were my childhood idols, and I was like, wow. And we played, and the room was silent.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, Maurice White stood up, and the rest of the guys stood up, and they just started clapping.
Oh, man.
And Maurice pulled me to the side. He said, you know what? He said, you got it. He said, you got it.
So...
He said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm going to tell you something one time. He said, don't ever stop singing and playing. And I told that man, I said, I won't. They're going to have to drag me off stage. I'm going to be like 95. They're going to be like, sir, you got it, sir. They're about to drag me off. Because I'm not going to stop hitting the phone, man.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. I mean, one thing about it is, it's veterans, it's legends like yourself that keep the game alive in terms of, because people really have to understand that era that you were coming up in. I mean, of course, at Earth, Wind & Fire, you know, Lakeside, you know, Rick James,
you know,
Prince was coming along, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Average White Band. I mean, y'all were coming up in terms of some like major players in the game. What was the recording industry, the record industry like in that day in terms of getting a contract and, you know, just really, you know, breaking through to that next level of doing major shows?
It was surreal as far as you get dealing with record labels, because I was really young and I'm still learning what it meant to be a man, you know?
Right.
And you have a lot of people want to represent you, and, you know, and they're talking with lawyers and this and that. It was very surreal. You have to learn who you can trust and who you couldn't.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you have to work hard. And the record industry back in the day was a little more in your face. Because, you know, we didn't have the luxury of, like we do now with the downloads and the digital music. There was none of that. They had to press the records. You had to get out there and do campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was good. You know, a lot of the young cats now, they don't understand. You got to push every day. Every day. That's why it's called a record business. It's a business.
Yeah.
So you got to push. Because there's no more calling the label and yelling at them. Because a lot of these labels now, they just laugh at you. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're dealing with the days, early days, like Clive Davis and all those guys, you know, really coming along.
Say again?
I think you're dealing with that early era.
The trial and error about how things work, which was very challenging.
Yes. Yes, I played on a lot of people's records. And some of these people, I never even got to meet them. Because they would bring me in the studio late at night, because some of these cats couldn't get the music tight, and they used to call me Little Man. They say, "Man, get Little Man up in here." And I, you know, because when I was young, I was really short, and then all of a sudden I sprouted up.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go in and fix people's trucks. And a lot of these young people, you know, I never met. So pretty much I was the ghost.
I
and like
look,
King said, like Brother King said, it was trial and error. You know, we
mm-hmm.
didn't really know what we was doing. We just wanted to do the best we could, give 100%.
Look, when you go by one name and they be like, go get the little man, that's like, that's on some old, like, you know, that mythicalness, like, they know, like, all right, we need to get your little man in here, like, he can handle this. He got it.
That's it. And also,
now, of course,
that's why I try to teach the younger cats, you know, hey, we're not promised anything in this world. All we got
right.
is our word. That's all we got, bro. Because they can take all the money and cars and fame.
Mm-hmm.
That could go away. All you got is your word.
Now, my question to y'all is, how do y'all maintain to stay together for so long? Because we've seen it happen with many bands before. Everybody had the urge to go solo and make more money, but y'all stuck together through all this time. Like, what's the key ingredient to that?
Well, are you talking about my band now or what I used to do?
Your band now.
Well, my band now, we started in 2012 because for a long time I was touring the world with different acts, different national acts. And then the industry finally said, you know what? They said, Dr. Funk, it's your time. Because you worked hard with all these groups and played on different people's records, toured the whole world. It's your time. And I put together Mind, Body, and Soul. And I was looking for brothers that really wanted to do it, that understood. Now, we got a good unit. And the key to keeping a good unit is there's no ego. There's no ego tripping. You know, we work together as a unit, as one machine. And be real. And I go back to what I was saying. Your word is your wand. So that's one of
definitely,
the secrets,
I mean,
of mind, body, and soul staying together.
Definitely. I mean, it's like Drumline, one band, one sound.
That's
what
it.
Were those recording what were those recording processes like? Did y'all usually, because, and I know this is still standard practice with some bands today, you know, but in some instances, people will record their parts separately, and then you have the mixer come in and then, you know, mix it all together. I'm going to go out and just say that I'm assuming that when it was time for y'all to do it, everybody was together at the same time when y'all actually recorded the song, you know, for the albums.
Well, the music that you're listening to with Mind, Body, and Soul.
Yes, sir.
Because of the situation, we had to record the rhythm section first and then bring in the horns.
Gotcha.
Because of
the
venue where we record at. You know, it's not big enough. It's 8 people, so you can't. You know, unless you just want to do like a experiment, do like they did in Motown, where they had everybody in the same room.
Right.
You know, well, it's a little different now because we're louder, the bands are bigger, the amps are bigger, the drums are bigger, the horn player is hitting harder, so it's a little
mm-hmm.
harder to mix that. Not like back in the day, I had the pleasure of actually going to Hitsville and seeing the room where they recorded, they only used 3-4 mics, you know? And that was for the whole band.
Man, when you
now,
say you went to Hitsville.
Nowadays, we're using, yeah, man, I went to Hitsville, man.
And what was it like meeting
the honor.
Did you actually
it was
the
an
funk
honor.
Brothers? Did you meet all the Funk Brothers? Did you meet all the Funk Brothers and everything during that time, during that visit?
No. There was nobody there. They let us in because I was on tour, and it's pretty much a museum now. They let you in, they take
you
through a tour.
But they took
me through a VIP tour because they took me in certain rooms where Smokey Robinson actually wrote those hits, And oh, to man. Another room where the Funk Brothers actually sat and played.
Mm.
And I got to play on the piano that Smokey used to write some of those songs, him and Marvin Gaye.
Man.
That was crazy.
I mean, and we always, you know, I mean, the history of giving us Dr. Funk is outright dynamite. You know, and I got to give this plug, too, for our listeners out there. If you have never seen the documentary Standing in the Shadows of Motown, you have to see it.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, for our listeners, if you have not seen it and you really want to get up on your musical history in terms of the musical aspects of Motown, in terms of the band, actual band that was playing on all those hits, you got to see it. It's, trust me, it is well worth your time and money to watch.
Yes.
It.
Yes. Thank you for sending that out, because that's the real. Definitely.
Y'all better check that out, man. If you can find it on your Netflix or you can find it whenever. That's some music history right there.
That is. That's real history right there. That's why I love what Sinbad did with all the summer jams over in Aruba. You know, because he brought back the music that helped this country. The music those bands are playing helped the United States overcome the wars. And that's what we need. This country
needs
the real music.
It needs this what's going on type anthem right now.
Yes. Yes. We have one song that went overseas towards the end of the year in 2020 called Love Is. And that song is about the power of love that will bring us together. Because we all need to stand together. All the black people, we need to come together and stand as one and stand with everybody. So that song is doing really good. We had reviews of people saying that our song Love Is helping them get through this pandemic.
Go ahead.
I said that's another example of a song that can help people. Just like Marvin Gaye said. Now you can find all our music on every platform. Apple Music, iTunes, Deezer, Amazon, Spotify, SoundCloud. And please listen to the music and use it. Play the music with your family. You know, because there's nothing like a joyful family singing and dancing and laughing together. But that's what we need right now. This
now,
is why I stay up to 4 in the morning writing these songs.
Oh, we're at 4:05 in the morning.
Yeah, there's no time for sleep when you got something to do.
Man, that's the geniuses. That's the mind of a genius right there. Geniuses don't really sleep.
Well, I must be a genius because I don't sleep. You know, when it comes to you, you know, sometimes it'll come to me in a dream. I just get up and I just go in the studio. Let's do this.
That's that creativity right there. The creativity just comes in out of nowhere. It could be like, that's the beautiful thing about being a creator, is it just comes out of nowhere. It could come when you just listen to the news or you eat breakfast in the morning. And all of a sudden you just get an idea just like that.
Yeah. It happens to me all the time. You can ask my brother. My brother's the guitar player in Mind, Body, and Soul. And we could be sitting there watching TV and somebody would say something. I say, what did she just say? And next thing you know, I have a song because I heard something in what she said and the way she said it, you know. And he's a witness of seeing me do that. I'm like, dude, I just heard something. Like, man, I gotta do something with that.
And importantly,
and
you gotta do it before you lose the idea.
Well, I have a theory, you know, because the way songs come to me, so I'm trying to teach people there's a difference between a song and just a jam or idea. Because if you actually get a energy spark or a light for a song, it's not going to leave you. But if it's just a jam, it'll come. You know, you can get a jam anytime. Or if it's just an idea, it's an idea. But I've had songs come to me on the tour bus, and I had to wait till I get home to record it. Because, you know, you're out on the tour bus, you're out there for 2-3 months on that bus, and you don't have the equipment to record on the tour bus, you know. And I had to wait till I get home. I get home, and my brother's like, you okay? I'm like, I'll see you tomorrow. And I go directly into the studio because I need to release that information that was in my brain.
And one thing about it, Doc. Yeah. And one thing about it, Doc, like you were saying, like you were King was saying, when it comes at any time, you know, no matter the genre, you know, when that inspiration strikes, it strikes at any time. Like for those that don't know about Jay-Z's 444 and they asked him about the title, Jay-Z was like, the inspiration hit him, and that's what time he got up in the morning to write the album, 4:44 a.m. You know,
that's right,
and that's what it is. In terms of understanding the processes, like you said, because you gave us the difference between the nuances of actually writing a song and a jam session, how important is it for an artist to not only know their instruments but to know how to work the knobs in terms of the sound studios, the mixing boards, you know, your 24-track, your 48-track, your 8-tracks, you know, your acoustics, understanding, you know, how the walls are padded to make sure the sound resonates appropriately, you know, uploading, you know, having sound effects, you know, to make it authentic. How important is it for artists to be in every aspect involved with the project?
I really think it's important, but also want to express that it depends on that individual. Because if it's not something that they want to know about and they just want to be the artist, that's that individual's soul. See, I'm different. I want to know everything about music. So I learned how to do sound, and I learned production. I learned how to set up. I learned how to take care of backline. Backline is a name for instruments. That's what we call it in the industry. So backline would be all the instruments, keyboards, drums, bass amps, guitar amps, you name it. And it's very important for me as a producer to know how to turn those knobs. Because if you don't know, you don't know what to tell the engineer, and it's not good for them to guess.
Right.
You know? So I made it a point to always bug every engineer I work with so I could learn. And then I went out and made the money and bought my own gear. So I think it's important, but like I want to reiterate is, it depends on that individual's soul, because some people try, but they don't really know because they can't get a grasp on it. It's not for them. So they
get
frustrated.
Right.
You know?
And that's
something,
man.
But, yes, people don't understand the work we put in as musicians and singers and techs, production techs. It's a lot of work, and I feel really bad that a lot of my brothers and sisters in the industry are out of work right now because of this pandemic. Because there's no work. There's no music industry right now as we speak. There are no shows. None. If there is a show, I don't know how they're doing it.
You know, one thing about it, you know, Doc, is when you're looking at how music is universal, how it is a healer, how it unites us, one thing about it I think that we've learned throughout this pandemic is, you know, all these years, your lifetime, me and King's lifetimes, we were living in the best years of our lives and didn't even know it. I mean, you know, to have a situation where we were that carefree 2 years ago, not even having a care in the world, something like this was going to happen. And now
that's
we're
right.
really seeing it, like, you know, we really, you know, it's like we've really been handcuffed in terms of the health crisis, you know, in terms of, and, you know, it is a crisis. I don't care what some of these whack jobs try to say about this thing don't exist. I'm like, no, it does. And it's really handicapped people from really, really being out there because it's a release. You know, people don't understand, you know, being in a club, being at a party, being in a festival, that fellowship, that interaction, that joyful exuberance, that emancipation of everything is in fact indeed everything. It encompasses what it means to live, what it, the definition of life in terms of actually putting that emphasis on living. And,
yes.
you know, for what you do, for what you and your contemporaries do, we can't thank you enough for what you have given us in terms of sharing your gift with all of us. When you talk about, you know, what it takes in terms of devotion, I think about years ago when Tavis Smiley had his interview with Prince. And I always laugh about it because Tavis was like, you know, okay, we've heard the stories about the muse, about the songs that you've got all, that you've got recorded. He's like, for the record, for our audience, how many do you have? He's like, Prince said, about 5,000. Tal was like, 5,000 and ready to go. Prince said, ready to go, all recorded.
That's it.
That man lived in that studio.
That's it, man. You have to. I have to ask my brother. I'm like, bro, how many songs do I have? He's like, man, I got to go get my tablet. Because he's like, I got to go get my tablet to see how many you have. Because
now, what's an average? What's an average?
Even understand, when you write a song, when you write a song, it's like a child. It's like a newborn.
Right.
Right.
Every time you write a song, you just have another kid.
Or you can also
it's like
directed another film.
Yes. Yes, it's creating another entity. Definitely.
Indeed. I mean, so what's it like when y'all get everybody into the studio when y'all record? Is it pretty much everybody because y'all been around each other so much you already know the cues in terms of hitting it on the three or dropping it on the one? Or, I mean, you know, just in terms of like, I mean, what's it like once everybody really gets together and y'all just start going with it?
Well, I'm a very strong believer in preparation. So I don't do the last minute. I let my band know, hey, I just started working on this new song. I'll be sending out different parts, you know, because I have 8 people in the band. We have horn section, then we have, you know, guitars and bass, the rhythm section, then we have 2 keyboard players. So I make sure my band know well ahead before we get in the studio what we're going to do. And it's up to them to come prepared. And my guys, they work hard. They're not playing. So, yeah, when we get in the studio, it's a lot of energy. We've had engineers say, man, you guys just blow my mind when you guys come in here. because I like to go track for track. I'm not the type of person to do the same track 8 times because it's too stale by then. If you can't get it in the first two or the first three, then we're going to have to reschedule. You got to go back, go home, practice. I don't waste time in the studio.
Yeah, I mean,
that's how I was brought up. Back in the day, now it's too cost too much. So I like to get it. I like to get it in the first take.
What gives me too is that these artists today got all the assets to their own studio. They don't even put out the consistent work like that. I'm like, y'all ain't got no studio time. Y'all ain't got none of that.
I know what you mean, man.
It don't even come out with hardly none. I'm like, man, with this quarantine going down, y'all should have at least about 7 to 8 albums loaded up for every year, for the decade.
I know that's right.
Now, one thing about it, Dr. Funk, is this, because we always try to give as much information to our audience as we can about the processes of getting a good studio and getting a good engineer and all those people. What is, for an artist, no matter the genre, you know, hip-hop, rock and roll, funk, you know, jazz, what is the average cost that it's going to be to get into a really, really good studio? And even going further with it, having a staff that is ready to go to work with you in every aspect.
The quality is within
you. Yes, we're
going to
ask you for some numbers. Yes, we're going to
get my Rolodex out. Well, actually, finding the right quality is the quality is inside you. Because
right.
The music industry is a small family.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a good person and a really good musician and singer,
mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, if your name come up, somebody will know who you are.
Right.
And for me, for all the work that I do, I guess it's word of mouth reputation, because the studio where we record at now, when I first called them up and say, hey, I have a new project I want to do, and it's a private studio, it's way up in these mountains, so there's nobody up there.
Okay.
And they're very select on who they let come in. And I first called up. I called up, and the man said, "Hi, how can I help you?" I said, "I'd like to book some time to produce some new records." And he said, "What's your name?" So I told him my name. He said, "What you do?" Blah blah blah. And I pretty much told him a little bit about my history in the industry.
Right.
And he said, "Hold on for a second." And he put me on hold. And this man got back on the phone and said, "Do they call you Dr. Funk?" I said, "Yeah, the fans call me Dr. Funk." He goes, "We definitely would like for you to come in." So I don't know who he called or what he did. He looked me up or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Yes." He said, I know who you are."
Mm.
I said, "Cool." And then I was joking. I said, "Well," I said, "if you know who I am, give me a good deal." You know,
what was his answer?
He's like, "We do the best we can." But one thing I really look for in the studio is, I don't care how much you know about Pro Tools and all that stuff. I look for the capability of the engineer and the realness of the outboard gear. Because everybody's using plugins. That's all good. But I also want the warmth of some of the analog.
Mm. Yeah.
That are important. very important. And I learned that from Quincy Jones. Because you can't take away the sound of real analog gear.
No,
that
you
song
know,
that the song that you guys played, Just a Matter of Time.
Mm-hmm.
That is all organic funk. Real bass, real drums, real keyboards, all real guitars. There's no samples, real horns. And that was recorded. That song took 2 days to record.
Hmm.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
fresh
we
out the
playing.
Oven.
Yeah, it took 2 days.
Oh, man. I mean, so y'all
you know
were serious with it.
It's crazy that you bring up analog, man, because a lot of the albums that I really like, believe it or not, are from the 70s, actually, because that's when you start really seeing the transition sonically from a different era. Just like, for example, with Off the Wall, one of the best produced albums ever. It still sounds fresh today.
Yes. Me and
you
together on that, man. That was one of my favorite albums as a kid and learning musicianship and learning production. I was a kid. I was like, I love that album. Quincy got down. It's awesome production.
Man, Quincy. You know, Funk King, you know, when we think of Off the Wall, that album in terms of Michael's, and people have to understand this, you know, and we say this with all the love in our heart. That
my brother
Michael's
just got
baby.
Home. My brother's the guitar mm-hmm. player. He just got home.
Okay.
I just
yeah.
wanted to send a
you
shout
know,
out. No,
yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Please do. No. Yeah, but a lot of people got to understand. That was not Michael Jackson's debut album. People have to understand that. Off the Wall was not Michael Jackson's debut album. That was like his fifth or sixth solo album by the time he got to Off the Wall. That was like his fifth or sixth album. But that was the album that officially had announced him as being like a real, like this was the considered the man album. It's funny because when you look at that video for Rock With You, I want to say, now you got to remember, this album came out in what I believe 1979. So,
yeah, the beginning of the 80s, huh?
Yeah, so I believe the video will cost like maybe, I want to say the video was maybe at that time, maybe around, I want to say, and anybody can call in and check me if I'm wrong. They call me T-Max with the facts, but I can get it wrong sometimes. You know, but I believe that video was cost $1 million at one point during that time to do, which in the, you think for that time was astronomical.
Yeah, it was.
Music industry
so you're
had
saying
a lot of money to
for $1 million for that song, for that video?
So remember the time?
Yeah.
I think it was $1 million.
Yeah, now you gotta remember though, this is like the 90s, so you know this.
Everybody
was
getting money in.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, and you know, Doc, you know, because me and King, we always laugh and joke about it when we talk about how that money, you know, back in the day was being thrown around, you know, even before the pandemic hit, you know, about, you know, because the, you know, just how the money was just back in the day for those videos, like. You know, and we can't forget our man Steve Sola, the Hit King. We had him on a couple months ago, and he was talking about how those budgets for those albums back in the day, they were just crazy in terms of like what they were allowed to get.
I know what you mean, man. They was off the hook. That was off the chain, man.
$500,000 just to push a single. You like, whoa, what? versus the $500 they give you to push the single in the album today.
Tell me about it, man. That's what I was saying
a
little earlier. You know how it's different now. I need about $2 million for my next project.
Yeah,
you know, any takers out there?
But you know what's wild too is that you got a lot of artists now, a lot of groups, they're doing the Kickstarter fundraiser to do albums now. Like they're having people, like, you know, donate money to put the albums together.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard about it. We chose another path. We said if we're gonna do this, we're gonna do it ourselves. And that way, we don't owe nobody nothing. We want to make sure. And when it comes down to it, it's on.
Most definitely. And, you know, we about to probably got to wrap this thing up shortly, man. Do you have, are you a part of the show that's going on this Sunday?
On the show this Sunday. Which one are you talking about?
Is it like a virtual show that you're involved with?
No, that might be another artist.
Okay.
We're in the studio working on a new album, which is going to be called
Gotcha.
My Life. So we just started recording a new album, and the record company is releasing songs from our other stuff that came out. So I think we only have one more song they want to release. And then we go with working on My Life, which is the new record. But yeah, I hope they have a good show.
Oh, those definitely, man. Yeah, I didn't know if T-Max had already left. I was looking for him because, you know, we've been having to rearrange a lot of things in this studio. You know how it be when you trying to be a creator and sometimes things don't want to work right at times. But we got everything together nevertheless, man. I mean, we're going to be definitely looking forward to that project. Oh, yeah, plug your social media accounts, too.
Oh, yeah, you can find us all over. We're on Facebook under Mind, Body, and Soul featuring Dr. Funk. And that's right. Spotify, Mind, Body, and Soul page, SoundCloud, Mind, Body, and Soul. And remember, folks, it's Mind, Body, and Stamp Soul, not the word and. It's the symbol. Mind, Body.
Yeah, the symbol.
Yep. Mind, Body, and Stamp Soul. So you can find us everywhere. And our website is www.mindsoulband.com.
Definitely.
Definitely, man.
And we have videos out on YouTube.
Yeah, tell them what you look for on YouTube, too.
Yeah, we have a video for a single that went number one on the Independent Music Network called Do It Right, which was a nice little video. Called Do It Right, and then our other video is called Just a Matter of Time, featuring Mr. Pete Escovedo himself. It was an honor working with that man because he was my childhood protege as far as Latin percussions. And look, I got the chance to work with him on my music, which was amazing. I used to copy him when I played timbales, which is a Latin percussion instrument. And I met him because his daughter is Sheila E. He came to California to do a concert, and she was supposed to play, but then Prince called her for a last-minute concert, so she couldn't play. And everybody in town said, we think the only person that could sub for her would be Rhythm Epkins, Dr. Funk. So they had their manager call me, and that's how I met Mr. Pete Escovedo. I had to sub for Shirley E. And we met, and I played with him, and we've been in contact ever since.
Oh, wow.
And now he's in my video, and he said he wants to do another one with us. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, so what's it like, you know, as you still keep making history and still keep making these incredible interactions?
It's a blessing, brother. This is why I do it. People ask me, why you do it? You want to make money? You want to do that? I do it to make people happy. Because you can never take that away from somebody. It's just like, you know, like you mentioned, you know, when we was kids, man, we have no worries, you know, other than the candy store open, you know. It's like,
and then the street lights being on. Make sure we got home in time.
You know, because the street light go off and you ain't home, you're going to get lit up when you get home. So we didn't have no cell phones. I don't know how we did it back in the day, but we remembered everybody's number. And we go
off
to that payphone. You know? I still try to do that now. So I'm like, my kids, they can't even remember my number. Because
right,
everybody
go
got digital phones instead of using their brain.
Like, don't you go to Google.
Exactly. That's for real. Step away from the Google. Use your own brain.
Yeah.
Like my brother said, yeah, it's good. It's good to read. Very good. I'm with you on that.
Definitely. I mean, there's just certain things that can't be substituted.
That's true.
Oh, definitely, man. But I know you got some things to take care of, man. So we're gonna definitely stay in touch. Big shout out to Aries for getting this thing hooked up, man, and linking you up with us,
yeah,
man. Brought great energy to the show.
Well,
we learned a lot about
yeah.
you, and we definitely supporting you.
Well, much respect for my brothers, man. It's so good to talk to brothers and talk to the fans out there. And let people know we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this.
Yes, we will.
The funk will heal you. And I want us to stand together. So anytime you guys need me, you know where to find me. I'm where the funk is. You know how to find me.
Man, look, this has been an honor and a privilege, Dr. Funk. You keep giving your PhD in happiness, and you are a certified teacher of all things tremendous, man. We thank you. We love you for your contributions. We love you and what your movement is, man. You're welcome back anytime. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, man. I want to send out all the love to everybody, all the functions all over the world. Say again.
Yes.
And what we're going to do is when we go on this music break, we're going to play your song again, Do It Right, to give people another dose in case they missed. A dose of that funk, man.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, lay the sugar down, like we say. Lay it down.
Oh, Steph.
All right, y'all. Thank you.
Hey, young man, how you doing, man? Get me down here. This is Ellie. What's going on? Hey, Pops, how you doing, man? Yeah, you know, I don't move around too quick. Man, I need to talk to you, bro. Yeah, I need some advice, man.
You need some advice? Advice on what?
Man, I think I'm in love.
Oh, you in love and things.
Yeah.
In love.
Yeah, in love, man. This is the one.
There's nothing wrong with that.
She's amazing.
All you got to remember is do it right.
What?
No, I said do it right.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do it right. I got you.
You know what I'm saying.
Thanks for the advice, Pop.
Yeah, well, keep your head up, Gunbud. You know what to do.
This is it. I got to do it right. So I got to go. I'll check you later, Pop.
All right.
See you.
All right, Gunbud. Well, keep your head up.
Do it right. I love the way you hold me and die.
but they would never find how to do it right, girl. Yeah. 'Cause we do it right. Do it right. I love the way you kiss me at night. I do it right. It feels so good. 'Cause you do it right.
could die young out here, mess around and die before 21 out here. Mama's dressing, seen them ratchets in the dresses, she not asking questions, she seen the vestments, seen other kids in the casket resting, weed so loud it got surround sound, smoking good shit cause they trying to take me back to some hood shit. Any club, any fly fair, if they start shooting, all they remember is Nas was there. Some homies of yours banging affiliation on their personal time, conflict with business can hurt down the line, it's something that you ain't have nothing to do with. Your man confrontation end up getting you hit. Learn how to draw the line from when we hang with the shooters, strippers, dealers, and killers, leeches and opportunists. Where I come from is ruthless, air you out from the Ubers, tutored by coke movers, put holes through your. You wouldn't get that from me, yo. You'd overlook me looking like I just get to that money and saying some pussy. Got a pretty real dope life, fly nigga from the other side. Hecklers, PKs, 9345, 7.62s, deer hunting, rifle sales, life is hell. Pussy tweeting, I'm wine tasting, but we won't self-indict ourselves. Be our own prosecutor, won't 25 the life ourselves. We bout that moolah. Rich shooters, you getting money, got a body, then you one of us. Trust.
You getting money, got a body, then you wanna bust. Calculated, touching money, these niggas masturbating. Tailor clothes, fashion magazines, they fascinated. Double M umbrella, the feds call it tax shelter. Hit the million, they can slide, it's in the rat section. Cha-cha-cha-cha, slide, catch me on that other side. Foreign cars, private jets, I rate a homicide. Mark Jacob, chocolate diamonds, they for my white bitch. 80 years for the pussy if he's a righteous. Follow the rules, never let a man take your jewels. And if he do, double back, make sure it make the news. It ain't a rush, they ain't a pussy till it's time to bust. You getting money, got a body, then you wanna bust.
You getting money, got a body, then you wanna bust. Trust.
You getting money, got a body, then you wanna bust. Dice game, head crackers, time to get it back. Only one in the studio that could get it back. Raw deal, rob a nigga like it's for my appeal. Closest friends do his best, regardless how I feel. Went to the lot and got them bitches on the same day. Straight to the jeweler and did the watches the same way. Young Sav on FaceTime, talking cake time. Next crib I build, got it cross state lines. Niggas hate how I wear my heart on my sleeve. And how the team got the choppers with the shoulder slings. It ain't a rush, they in the trap, and you a 100 up. You getting money, got a body, then you wanna bust.
You getting money, got a body, then you wanna bust.
You getting money, got a body, then you wanna bust.